You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
So we do have some developing stories right now, and that is a dive team is headed to or just arriving at the for the third time in a month, I might add, where you have a vehicle that has gone into the Schuylkill River. And so this is off of Kelly Drive. Remember, we had told you about, what was it, late August, there were two situations. One of them was, remember, a Mercedes-Benz backing up, backing into the river.
Yes.
That one happened, and they never found that driver, by the way, from the Mercedes. And then there was another one where they said that a vehicle accidentally shifted into gear, that it went into the Schuylkill River. This was also late August. Kelly Drive, right near Strawberry Mansion Bridge in Fairmount Park. So those were the first two ones within the last just a couple weeks ago. But this one, there was a witness called 911, saw this pickup truck, heard something, then saw the pickup truck go into the river. So we don't know, is this an accident? Is this on purpose? Because it obviously the Mercedes that backed in, where we didn't find the driver, that one was on purpose.
Yeah, I was going to say, and wasn't that the claim from firsthand knowledge that there was somebody in the driver's seat,
yes,
backing in?
There was a witness to it.
And so they never found the body.
They said they never found the body, the driver. That
okay.
was weird. That's the update on that, as now the dive team heads for the Schuylkill to hopefully, as of right now, they don't have a rescue reported. So we have that one going on. 17-year-old shot in Philadelphia. That was, I believe, North Philadelphia this morning. And then we have last night, a teenager shot, a 15-year-old reported to be shot and injured near Temple University, North Philadelphia, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 1400 block of Cecil B. Moore Ave. 15-year-old found at the scene suffering from a gunshot wound to his hip. So he was right there, rushed to Temple University Hospital, where he's listed in critical condition. But I will say, Temple University Hospital, those emergency department doctors are like war room, like a mm-hmm. what would you say, a war or combat zone,
yeah,
type emergency room physician,
right,
where they're amazing at saving lives.
Well, how many times do the police officers have to bring them directly there because there's no time to wait for the medics?
Oh, that's a great point. That's so true. I don't know if that's the case in this one.
Okay.
We know that for the 15-year-old, he's a student with the school district of Philadelphia, so presumably left school. This happened at 15-year-old left school, and this situation happened. The suspected shooter appeared to be of the similar age as the victim and took off, fled onto the subway. So, as I always say, no word yet as to a motive. We don't have a suspect in custody. We don't have the firearm that was used. It's the same story that I give, you know, every morning.
It's just target practice going awry.
Oh my gosh.
That's all it is.
I will say, before I get to all the road closures that are pending today, because it affects everybody. And remember, there's a Phils game tonight, so a lot of traffic this evening. So we'll get to that. But as far as the Johnny Matthew Goudreau, the commemoration, the memorial that happened in Media, Pennsylvania yesterday at noon. Just a heart-wrenching story for this family, as we learned that NHL star Johnny Goudreau, that his wife, Meredith, announced at the commemoration, she's pregnant with their third child. And Johnny's younger brother, Maddie, his wife, as you know, she's pregnant with their first child.
Mm-hmm.
And so just not a dry eye in the place, as so many gathered in Media, Pennsylvania, to, you know, for a Catholic service, to remember them, to honor their lives, to celebrate their lives.
I actually saw Johnny Gaudreau play in Nashville in 2019. Yeah, when they came down to play the Predators. Yeah, it was a good player.
Well, a good player, and what you hear from everybody, by all accounts, our Henry Machette said his dad met him. You know, you keep hearing that. People saying, yeah, I met him back when, so and so. Everybody has a good story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hockey players are really good dudes. They're fun. They're fun people to be around. They're party animals, too. They're wild. They're wild men.
Oh, my goodness. So we will get to all the rest of the day's news as far as this historic debate between Vice President Kamala Harris for former President Donald J. Trump. But I'll just focus right now on the security, on high alert, obviously, at Philadelphia, at and around Philadelphia's National Constitution Center. The debate tonight aired on ABC News. It looks like everybody's pretty much going to be streaming it.
Yes, and 1210 WPHT. Yes. Thank you very much.
So we'll stream it here. And that's always a fun exercise if you are watching it visually, but if you listen to it.
Yep.
That I love doing that during a debate.
So now let me ask, just because I'm guessing the audience might have the same question. Are we getting the television feed?
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
It's not like a radio radio announcer. It's like not like Westwood One.
No.
Okay.
But when you listen to it as opposed to watching it,
mm-hmm.
sometimes you'll have a different take.
Oh.
And so,
right.
And that goes back to, you know, journalism class and
sure.
talking about the famous, the first televised presidential debate, which is, of course, Nixon Kennedy.
Because you can't see body language, right?
Yeah.
Yep, can't see anybody sweat.
Oh.
Can't see their nervous quiver of their lip or whatever.
All right, so here's what you do. You turn off your televisions in your house tonight. You turn the lights off. You light a few candles. You have a cup of coffee or a cocktail, and you fire up the Odyssey app on your phone.
Thank you.
There you go.
Yep.
See?
Yep. Everybody listen to it on 1210 WPHD.
Theater of the Mind.
Yep.
It's like fireside chats.
I believe Dom Giordano will be in the spin room afterwards, so hopefully we'll get some sound from Dom because he used his contacts to get in there.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Well, what a day this is. If you're going anywhere from Center City to South Philadelphia between the Constitution Center and Citizens Bank Park, good luck today.
Well, that's just it. At some point this morning, and they keep saying there are these, watch out, there are these rolling road closures.
Rolling.
So we've been getting alerts since, I mean, I think it started overnight, that, in fact, they're going to start these rolling closures. And at some point this morning, and I don't know the exact time, they're going to shut down the entrance where you would take the exit there to the Constitution Center off the eastbound Vine Street Expressway in 676.
Yep.
When they shut that down, obviously, that's going to affect eastbound traffic this
mm-hmm.
morning
yep.
and throughout the day. Then these rolling closures between 8 and 10 p.m., obviously, you know, leading up to the debate, after the debate, we're going to have the Ben Franklin Bridge. There will be rolling closures and shutdowns on the bridge.
Just stay away from that area.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just stay. I'm just going to stay okay. in Montgomery County.
Just stay away from that area. Yeah.
And that really brings me to our Philadelphia Phillies because game time is 6:40. Yeah. So, you know, we'll think about that. I want to say legendary actor James Earl Jones has died 93 years young. His family said he died peacefully at home.
Saw that.
You know, Darth Vader.
Voice
Field
of Darth
of
Vader, yeah. Yeah.
So I heard that this morning. I said, oh. And I did not know that as a young child, he overcame a speech impediment.
Yeah.
Stutter, right?
Which is, yes.
Yeah, from Darth Vader to, I think he was in three different seasons of The Simpsons as a voice. He was also in, if you remember the Disney movie, the baseball movie, The Sandlot. He was the guy on the other side of the fence with the big dog that gobbles up the baseballs.
Yep.
Yeah.
This a legendary actor, iconic, really. And so, you know, we're seeing that on social media this morning. Fans paying tribute to him.
Yeah, 93. I mean, 93. You know, that's a good run.
Yeah,
that's a good run.
It's going to be about 33 years longer than I get.
Stop. Got to keep those doctor's appointments going.
Yeah, I got one coming up.
Keep them going.
Yeah.
Keep them going. Yeah.
So I talked about our Phillies. Wow. What a, first of all, weather-wise, gorgeous night last night, but our Phillies beat the Rays 2-1. And what an exciting end. As, you know, we had, what, Buddy Kennedy, who's a local guy, and everybody cheering Buddy, and then Cody. I mean, just a riveting, energized night last night for our Philadelphia Phillies. But we won 2-1, so.
There was a little discrepancy. Did you see the Bryce Harper situation?
No, but I saw people tweeting it. What happened?
So he hit a long shot that looked like it was going to be out of there.
Okay.
It wasn't, and he kind of dogged it to first base.
Oh, boy.
And everybody's saying that he could have gotten two out of it.
Okay.
If he would have hustled instead of admiring his his shot.
Yeah.
They did a two-shot with Topper,
mm-hmm.
and Topper. You could see his disgust on his face.
Uh-huh.
But
I remember that happened to Rollins years ago, and Boa chewed him out for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they should. Like, your job is to hustle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
Just because you're on top doesn't mean you sit there and look at the scoreboard.
That's right.
Right, Nick Hale?
Right, or stare at the clock.
Or spike the football.
That's correct.
Right?
Yep.
Because, you know, things can change in an instant.
I know.
You know?
You got to be a humble soldier.
Yeah, humble. Humble.
Bryce Harper did, according to Rob Thompson, he did apologize. He said he was sorry, and he apologized to the team.
All right.
So there, he's still injured.
Yeah.
Don't make any excuses.
I've never seen a woman
just make so many excuses for so many different men.
How'd you like to be a grown man by the name of Buddy? I'd kill my parents if they named me Buddy.
He was cute, though. They asked him about it afterwards. He was psyched. And when the home crowd is cheering your name, and he just, you know, was savoring the moment, said he'll remember that for the rest of his life.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
So the forecast today, lovely forecast, 82 degrees and sunny today, much of the same. Tomorrow, 83 degrees, Thursday, 85, Friday, 84. The weekend, wow. I mean, if you're sneaking away to the shore, 87 for Saturday and 86 for Sunday. It's one of those.
All these people are just like, fall, it's fall, it's fall. No, it is still summer.
Yes.
It's still summer until the 21st.
Yeah, 11 days to go.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Although I'll tell you, last night we had the windows open and the ceiling fans going. I got to the point where I had to kill the ceiling fans. It was getting a little too chilly for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you celebrate the twins' 10-year-old?
Yeah. We did a whole bunch of stuff. It's like birthday month. And we've got the actual birthday party coming up this Saturday afternoon. I'm like, they're celebrating for like four straight weeks. I'm like, it's one day.
That's right.
Outrageous.
Their birthday month.
Oh, and then they got my daughter took one extra invite into class for one girl that wasn't on my wife's list, and it was like World War II. And I'm like, can we just get this facade over with? Now, this is why I don't do parties.
Ooh.
Just wait till they're teenagers. David says, can I have some buddies over, and can you and Dad go upstairs so we can watch, you know, MMA or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And do you think you could get the spring dance hot tub converted to salt water by Saturday?
Yeah, sure.
So
I've got nothing else on my docket.
Yeah, I got nothing else to do.
Right.
Nothing happening.
Yeah, yeah. I just go down to the Atlantic Ocean and scoop up some salt water. All right, pal.
There's your birthday gift from Nick Cale, kiddo. We are sponsored from Piazza Auto Group. And no, David, you're not getting a car for your birthday, right? For a limited time, get special 0% financing for 60 months on the new 2024 Volkswagen Tiguan or a $2,000 customer bonus. Just visit Piazza Volkswagen of Ardmore Langhorne or PiazzaVW.com for all the details. Thank you, Piazza Auto Group, for sponsoring our first edition of Cale & Company News Live this big Tuesday morning.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:17, let's get to a Tuesday Big Take.
The Big Take on Cale & Company.
And it is brought to you by American Heritage Credit Union. It is debate night in Philadelphia. We've made it. The first and likely only debate for the 2024 presidential election has arrived, and it's right here in our backyard. The election will likely come down to who wins Pennsylvania, so it's only fitting that Donald Trump and Kamala Harris face off tonight in Philadelphia. And as of Saturday, July 20th, 2024, Donald Trump was supposed to square off against Joe Biden. That was until he KO'd one half of the Biden-Harris administration on the night of June 27th in Atlanta, Georgia. Now Donald Trump will get the opportunity to finish off the other half of this administration. The debate will begin at 9 o'clock. You can hear it right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. You can watch it on ABC News, simulcast it on Fox News, and every other channel under the sun. It'll be moderated by David Muir of World News Tonight and ABC News live anchor Lindsay Davis. The National Constitution Center will be the setting. The microphones, they'll be muted, which is what Trump and Biden agreed to. Meanwhile, it's Kamala Harris who wanted the mics to be hot the entire time. And Trump won the coin toss, and he will give the closing statement on tonight's festivities. Trump and Harris will have 2 minutes for a closing statement. They will have 2 minutes to answer questions, 2 minutes for rebuttals, and an extra minute for follow-ups or clarifications. Of course, ABC News, the only network that Kamala agreed to, and that might be because of the positive coverage they give her. According to Newsbusters, ABC's coverage of Kamala is 100% positive, with 93% of their coverage of Trump being 93% negative. It is the most pro-Harris, anti-Trump evening newscast in the United States of America. That data courtesy of Media Research Center. The study revealed MRC analysts reviewed all 100 campaign stories that aired on ABC's World News Tonight from the day Harris entered the race, which is July 21st, through September 6th, and that includes weekends. Our analysts found 25 clearly positive statements about Harris from reporters, anchors, voters, or other nonpartisan sources, with zero negative statements. None. That computes to a gravity-defying 100% positive spin score for the vice president. As for Trump, their analysts found just 5 clearly positive comments compared to 66 negative statements for a dismal 7% positive or 93% negative spin score. But you know what? That's just fine. Trump put Biden into retirement during his CNN debate, and that's hardly a pro-Trump environment. My advice for Donald Trump tonight is simple. You've already done 7 presidential debates. You just ended Joe Biden's career 7 weeks ago. You thrived with muted microphones. Simply put, run it back. Laser focus, clear and concise, speak to the American public on what you will do for them. Make it about the people. No time for revenge, no time for redemption. Success will be the ultimate payback. Give your vision, explain your policy, and tell Americans that you will fix the errors of the Biden-Harris administration. Don't use nicknames, don't talk about her race, don't mention anything about DEI, and tell America that you have been, unlike her, the most transparent and openly available president in American history, as your opponent hides because she has no platform to run on. Crush her on her communist and copycat policies on the economy. Crush her on the flip-flopping. Crush her on being the most liberal senator of all time. In fact, she's so liberal and progressive that she knows she can't win by running on that kind of platform. And even left-wing madman Bernie Sanders knows it. Here was Bernie on NBC unknowingly ripping Kamala Harris as a fraud on NBC's Meet the Press. Listen and watch.
Kamala Harris as a progressive. She has previously supported Medicare for all. Now she does not. She's previously supported a ban on fracking. Now she does not. These, Senator, are ideas that you have campaigned on. Do you think that she is abandoning her progressive ideals?
No, I don't think she's abandoning her ideals. I think she's trying to be pragmatic and doing what she thinks is right in order to win the election.
Well, she's not abandoning them. She's just going to tell you she will do A to get elected and then probably implement B once elected. Translation, that makes you a fraud and a liar. And speaking of the flip-flopping, Axios has laid out Harris's 9 policy reversals that include banning plastic straws. Now she's against that. EV mandates by 2035. As of now, her campaign won't comment on that. Banning fracking, she's against that now. Mandatory buyback programs for assault weapons, she claims to be against that now. Decriminalizing crossing the border, she no longer supports it. Reparations for slavery, that position, according to Axios, is unclear now. building a border wall. Well, now supports it as part of a bipartisan bill. Federal jobs guarantee. She's nixed that. Medicare for all. She's backed off of that, as Bernie stated. And it's clear what Harris has been doing. She's running on female reproductive rights and hoping that Trump derangement syndrome will carry her across the finish line to victory. But she's more concerned about defining Donald Trump a certain way than she is defining herself. And that could very well be a fatal flaw. Here was the binder yesterday on that subject. Listen and watch.
31% of registered voters said in a New York Times Siena poll that they still need to learn more about Vice President Harris. So why is she spending so much time trying to define Trump and link him to Project 2025 rather than define herself?
I mean, look, those questions, obviously, those are campaign questions. You would have to ask the campaign, and that is for them to speak to. And what I will say is, what I can say is that as far as contrast, the contrast can't be more clear. It couldn't be more clear.
Well, thank you very much for clearing that up, Clarine. I appreciate your time. It's amazing. One third of American voters don't know her. I actually think that number is low. I bet closer to 50% of American voters can't say a word about her, what she's done, what she's failed to do, or what she stands for. The Washington Post with the following headline, Trump can knock Harris out of the race in one debate. Here's how. Mark Thiessen writes the following. Remind swing voters of what they like about him, that being his policies. Don't remind swing voters of what they don't like about him. Make Harris the incumbent and tie her to Joe Biden and make Harris own her record. I agree wholeheartedly with that. And combative styles, Trump very much so. But the mainstream media has tried to show that Kamala's got a little feistiness as well, although a lot of headlines out there today saying Kamala's combative debate style will get the ultimate test against Donald Trump. Why? Well, she's not debating pushovers like Mike Pence. Remember this? Listen and watch.
Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking.
I have to
I'm speaking. In. Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking.
Well,
I'm speaking.
Be important if you said the truth.
Mr. Yes. Vice President, I'm speaking. Please. I'm speaking. Okay. If you don't mind letting me finish, we can then have a conversation. Okay?
Please.
Okay. Trying to answer you
the
now.
The American people deserve a straight answer.
I will not sit here and be lectured by the vice president.
There she is. But we won't get that tonight because the microphones will be muted. But I still contend and argue that unmuted microphones against Donald Trump wouldn't help her. Trump is not Mike Pence. Donald Trump is a different political animal. He's a different personality. He's absolutely a type A. So what does the final prep look like as game time approaches? Well, Trump, he's being advised by Tulsi Gabbard, who, as we know, about 5 years ago had a great beatdown of Kamala Harris on the debate stage, as well as getting help from GOP allies. Quote, for the first time, people are really going to get to see her and whether she can stand on her own two feet. That is Ari Fleischer, a White House press secretary under G.W. Bush. Fleischer's advice for Trump is simple, quote, hit her on policy, just like you did to Biden in the first debate. That was a disciplined, tough, policy-oriented Donald Trump. I would love to see the same Donald Trump against Kamala Harris, end quote. Meanwhile, Kamala Harris, she's in a hotel room studying tape. Here's the latest from CNN. Listen and watch this.
She has closely studied the former president's past six debate performances. She's also been sort of entrenched in these briefing papers going over the former president's past comments, as well as the ways that he has insulted her, so she can be prepared to respond to that. She's engaged in these mock debates with a stand-in for the former president, and she's had conversations with Hillary Clinton and President Biden, who both extensively have knowledge of debating the former president.
But the reality is this. I'm going to give you a football analogy. This is like having the dummy offense trying to run your opponent's playbook in preparation for the game on Sunday. It's never quite the same. You can't recreate the speed, the on-field game conditions, or the personnel you will face for 60 minutes. It's also like that professor that you might have had in grad school or law school who told you, You know, for all the students in undergrad who got A's because they could memorize their notes, I'm here to tell you that won't work on my exams. And that's precisely why I think Kamala Harris will lose tonight's debate. She can't think on her feet. She's not going to be able to feed off of energy and high-fiving people and having Timmy Walz running around like Chris Farley. And I think as we go to bed late tonight, I believe regardless of what the spin comes from the media in post-game coverage and tomorrow on cable news, I think we're going to walk away knowing that Donald Trump won the debate. But you know what? He doesn't need to KO Kamala like he did Joe. He just needs the judges to score the decision in his favor. The KO comes on November 5th, and that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, Big Take this morning is brought to you by American Heritage Credit Union. If you are buying a home with the MyCU Home Connection program through American Heritage Credit Union, you can unlock cash rewards, benefits, and discounts. Learn more at AmericanHeritageCU.org/HomeConnection. Insured by NCUA, not a member. Join today, NMLS 433-838. We'll come back, get some thoughts on tonight's debate, and then also what Kamala Harris needs to do to distance herself from the big guy, as well as, have you been checking her website? Just yesterday, policies have officially been posted on the website, KamalaHarris.com. What do they include? Yeah, we'll give you those as well. It's Kale and Company. Back after this on a Tuesday, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Dawn Stensland, when you think about the debate tonight here in Philadelphia, and I know you and I will be watching this intently, you know, clinging to every single syllable and mannerism and grading it from how Trump did to how Kamala did perspective to was ABC fair and partisan. Let's do a little keys to victory. We'll be like a hokey, NFL pregame show. What would you say is the key to a good debate night for Donald Trump? And then also conversely, what do you think's the key for Kamala Harris coming out of there in one piece?
For Donald Trump, I would say he just needs to remind viewers, maybe viewers who get their news from biased media or Twitter, which they should listen to Greg Stocker. Don't get your news from
Can we stop getting our news from Twitter?
So for Donald J. Trump, you know, on things like, you know, bring up the insulin issue. He should bring up that was something that was important to him that he talked a lot about. For Donald J. Trump, he should talk about the fact that, you know, it's his tax cuts that are in jeopardy of going away in 2025. He's the one who cut those taxes. So he needs to, you know, try to professionally explain that, you know, what we're talking about, these were my plans. These were my tax cuts that I believe in. And here are the details. And he needs to detail it. I think, you know, one of the things that I hope he does, and some of his campaign, they've told me that he'll try to be more hopeful. And so I think that's important as well, that he doesn't come across as irked by, you know, the fact that in many ways she's copycatting a lot of the policies that have been popular for him that mm-hmm. he created, but rather for him to say, hey, I'm running against an incumbent, somebody who's in office who could do this right now today.
Correct.
And I want to bring back the American dream. I want to make sure that we can bring down inflation, fix the economy. I know how to do this. I'm a proven winner.
Mm-hmm.
But to say it in a more hopeful, positive energy way.
Right. You know, and I also think it's, and you heard some of the clips there that we played in the Big Take with, you know, debate prep for Kamala, and we've heard about these columns about Kamala's going to try to rattle Trump, and Hillary has told Kamala that Trump can be rattled and he can be shaken, and you're going to want to try to get under his skin. And we know, you know, at least the theory is she wanted the microphones unmuted so she could have that Mike Pence moment of, excuse me, it's my time, sir, please be quiet. And she's not going to get that with the muted microphones. But I would advise Donald Trump, don't take the bait. Don't play into her trap of, because if she's trying to memorize these little catchy zingers and aha, gotcha, see, I'm a woman of strength moments, don't play into it. If she goes for one of those memorized jabs, I would just brush it off. I wouldn't even give it any oxygen, because if you stay super focused, I guarantee you there will be post-game analysis that says Donald Trump was laser focused. He was dialed in. Kamala Harris tried to have the Mike Pence moment and Trump wasn't having any of it. He stayed locked in on the economy or immigration or wars or whatever the subject matter is for that 2 minute period after a question. So I think she actually wants to kind of get it kind of muddy and in the muck. And, you know, what's her verbiage she's been using? I know guys like Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. I know fraudsters. I've dealt with those guys my whole life as a prosecutor. So, like, I think she's playing into what she believes her strength is. But if you don't take the bait, she'll never get a chance to really put that on display. So to your point, and when she talks about joy and hope and change, you don't even really need, well, the change part, it's, you could certainly hit her back with, well, you've had 3 years and 10 months. Why haven't you changed?
Yeah, and do it today.
Right, right. And do it today. But like, if you talk about the joy and the hope, if you're Trump, you say, well, I would say it was, you know, pretty joyous to have gas at $1.87. I would say it was pretty joyous to have, and, you know, illustrate the strengths of your economy and how things were for the first 3 years and paint that with a joyous and hopeful lens, so to speak. I really think you can, if you don't take her bait tonight in certain moments, I think she's going to have like these awkward pauses where she was waiting for the feisty, I can't bite my tongue guy to come lashing out at her. And if he doesn't give her that pleasure, I think it kind of blows up in her face a little bit.
Yeah, and I think we've seen, so post Butler, Pennsylvania, when there was an attempt to assassinate Donald J. Trump, he had, to me, that was, I see a change in him. And I really think, I mean, think about what he's been through. He has been, you know, they've persecuted him, they've convicted him, they've dragged him through every court. He's been through it. They've tried, you know, he just survived by a sliver, literally, an assassination attempt. I mean, everything that you could, you know, they've tried to take his business away from him. He left New York. I mean, everything that's happened to him. So I think he just, in many ways, he's been through it. He's so battle tested. And I will say this, even during the debate with Biden, one of his best lines was just sort of when they addressed him, it wasn't like a power play. He casually said, I really don't even know what he just said.
Well, and you can do that with Kamala, because yes, if she word salads it, you just copy and paste what, yeah, you said on June 27th.
Yeah, so it didn't come off, mm-hmm, at that point. I liked that style,
yep,
because it did not come off as, ooh, I've memorized, I've been waiting for this big moment. That's not what it was. It came off as just like under his breath, just sort of like, I don't even know what he said. And it was sort of funny, but he did not laugh, mm-hmm, which is, by the way, Reagan-esque. Mm-hmm. That's the Reagan thing. So if he embodies all of that, I think he will do well. But no matter what he does,
yeah,
no matter what he does, they will say Kamala won. They will. They will praise her. And
well, that's,
she's the first, yeah, this.
That's my question is how many people do you think are going to be watching this debate so intensely and hearing the back and forth and really making up their own minds, or are going to be swayed by what
headlines,
the news articles say, what the talking heads say, what Twitter, yeah, says,
yep,
what Facebook says? That's the problem with this, is that it doesn't, what happens on the debate is kind of
irrelevant
as to how people spin it afterwards.
You're right. And to the extent of, let's just say you didn't watch it tonight and you didn't watch clips, but whatever little ecosphere you live in, you'll run with that the next day at the water cooler at the office, right?
Exactly.
Like if you, yep, just regurgitate conservative influencers on X, Trump dunked on Kamala. And, yep, he might very well do that. I mean, that's certainly a more plausible outcome and a more realistic outcome than Kamala dunked on Trump. But depending on where you get your news, I mean, if you read the New York Times or the Washington Post, Kamala holds her own in combative debate, showing she's more than ready to step into the number one chair. You can see, and I think we got a tweet yesterday. This was either, I think, from Richard Notaro or Old Man Dudley. One of them sent me a tweet saying they already have the columns written on what the headline will be. Yeah. It'll just be a matter of inserting the quote.
It was Rich.
Hit paste and hit send, right?
Yep, it was Rich Notaro.
Yes.
I just think, you know, and that's the problem here. And to me, you know, look, you may not like Hillary Clinton, but Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. She had been in the White House. She had been around a long time. Nobody said, oh, she's not qualified for this job. Many people said at the time, as far as her credentials, her resume. But so it's not a woman thing at all that I'm saying here. But my goodness, have we ever seen anybody who has this this platform to be promoted right now to and to be poised perhaps to be the next president of the United States? I don't think this country has had anybody who has who is truly more unqualified
you are
than
correct.
Kamala Harris. I mean it just boggles my mind that anybody takes this seriously.
I agree.
This individual is not qualified, has never run anything, where is her resume or her experience level? I just don't see it. And and clearly we know that because Democrats didn't even choose her. She wasn't even a top choice.
She was on the verge of being replaced as the VP. Now she's qualified to be the number one. To your point, qualifications and candidacy and career accomplishments, stacking Kamala up against Hillary is like putting the freshman football team up against the varsity. I mean, it's honestly not even close.
Yeah.
I mean, to your point, yes. I mean, Hillary was, quote, qualified. She just couldn't shake the stench that came along with the Clinton name because everybody knew she was corrupt and attached to Bill, and they were sick of it, and they wanted something different, and the timing of Trump made sense. But, my God, could you imagine if Kamala, like, if let's just replace Hillary and insert Kamala as we know her today? Could you imagine what Trump would have done to her in 2016 if it was Trump and Kamala 8 years ago? It would have been an even bigger landslide.
And that's why they have to go with talking about, oh, this is a woman. He's going to be a bully. He's going to be sexist. This morning, I monitor all the different local media. There are actually local media stations airing stories, interviewing different women's groups and different advocacy and policy women's groups. And they're saying, oh, well, we're just watching for, you know, how she is perceived and how he may say things that are sexist and bully her. Yeah. And I'm like, first of all, as a woman, I find that highly insulting because you put me in a debate against anybody. I don't care, man, woman, child. I'm going to go toe to toe. I'm going to prepare. I'm going to do well. And so to say, to start looking at her ethnicity or her gender or whatever, that is that diminishes any of those groups.
Yeah.
That's basically saying, well, because you are fill in the blank, you really cannot go toe to toe with, you know, a man or a white man.
Yeah.
And so we're just going to make all of these excuses for you. No. That nobody should say that. That's the opposite of what should happen.
Yeah.
And so they diminish. That's, to me, I find that so disrespectful.
I just love how everybody's, well, you got to be courteous and respectful. She is a female, after all. You think Xi or Putin are going to be mindful of Kamala Harris's gender when we get on the precipice of World War III? You think Russia, you think China's going to go light on America because the president's a female? Zero chance in hell. But I know the way it works. So, you know, Trump gets too combative. It's, oh, he's trying to intimidate a female. This is a debate for the presidency of the United States, okay? Not 10th grade class president.
Thank you. And was Joe Biden a female? Was Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, Cruz, I mean, name all the, were they all females?
Yeah.
No, he, believe me, he spoke much harsh. He was very harsh with all of them. I'm sure that he will take a little bit of a different tone. But I will say part of it is, post Butler, Pennsylvania assassination attack.
Yep. 855-839-1210. Coming up next, we'll wrap up the 6 o'clock hour. Liberal columnist for New York Magazine says Kamala should throw Joe under the bus. Kale and Company back after this.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Jonathan Chait, a liberal columnist for New York Magazine, throws Kamala Harris under the bus, saying, you need to throw Joe Biden under the bus. Under the headline, Kamala Harris should cut Joe Biden loose, Chait summed up a New York Times report about the Harris campaign struggling to balance her considerable connection to the Biden-Harris administration, as well as her personal loyalty to the president, with his unpopularity before asking, why is this even a struggle for Kamala Harris? Why not directly repudiate unpopular Biden positions? They go on to write, rather than trying to balance loyalty to Biden against catering to the desires of the electorate, Harris's strategy should focus entirely on catering to the public with no attention whatsoever to Biden's feelings. There is no rule requiring Harris to own every action Biden has taken. Quote, she can even say that she has disagreed with him. Her role as vice president was to give the president candid advice in private and support him in public. But now that she is running for his job, she can advocate her own ideas. They continue, quote, exactly why Biden has proven so toxic has confounded Democrats. I sympathize with their bewilderment. At this point, alas, public opinion is what it is, and I feel the Democrats have allowed their sentiment that Biden has gotten an unfair rap to cloud their judgment. Ms. Harris and her advisors are girding for a variety of debate attacks, including over her ties to Mr. Biden. I actually agree with that from the standpoint of, you're Kamala Harris. Joe Biden's got about 95 days or 100 days left in office, technically. He's been on vacation, basically, since the 4th of July. Why not just back the bus over him? Distance yourself completely from him. Keep this in mind. We played you that clip. 31% of voters don't know anything about Kamala Harris. And Stocker, I think you've been saying for a while that you actually think that number is significantly higher. You think most people don't know anything about her.
100%.
So at this point, and politics being what it is, and you stab people in the back and, you know, there's no loyalty. I mean, I would back the electric school bus over Joe. I would back the gas-powered school bus over Joe. I would back the little short bus over Joe. All of it, the whole bit.
Yeah.
Enough with Joe Biden.
She's not going to do that, though. There's too much political, there's too many consequences.
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, because Pelosi's already body bagged him as well.
Yeah, but they body bag him and then they, you know, give him a kiss on the cheek.
And then they say he belongs on Mount Rushmore.
100%. So I think that there's too much to lose if she does that.
Yeah.
I understand what Jonathan Chait is saying, but I don't think that she's ever going to do it.
I mean, I would back the SEPTA bus over her, public transportation, mass transit. I mean, not even close at this point. But as you'll see when we come back to kick off hour number two after Dawn's news, she can't do that if she's going to steal Joe's policy and verbiage.
Oh boy.
So we'll get to that as the official campaign website is up. And by the way, Kamala Harris texted my daughters last night.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
We'll read that text as well. Mm. As we continue, hour number two, Dawn's news is next. Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.